ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय I've been reading sequentially through the Bhagavatam, and where we are this evening is Canto 1, Chapter 3, Text number 15. This is in the list of 22 avatars, because that was one of the questions asked by the sages of Sutta Goswami. Please describe those forms of the Lord as they appear within this world, and so he does. And text number 15 is the 10th in this list of 22, 10th avatar, Matsya avatar. And since one of our devotees attending here is getting their PhD in Krishna consciousness this semester, we are going to look at the commentaries of our acharyas along with Srila Prabhupada's purport. Both for detail and also for appreciation of how Prabhupada has taken the commentary of our acharyas and made it very simple. Like a smoothie from nice fruits. Okay, so the translation of text 15 of chapter 3 reads, where there was a complete inundation after the period of Chakshusha Manu, that's Manu number 6 out of 14, and the whole world was deep within water, the Lord accepted the form of a fish and protected Vaivasvata Manu. Although it was Satyavrata, King Satyavrata, who later became Vaivasvata Manu, but mixing them. Stay tuned. You've got to be attentive to catch all these things. Keeping him, that's Vaivasvata Manu, on a boat. Purport starts with a controversy. Not only in Krishna consciousness there are controversies, it's even in the Bhagavatam. According to Sripad Sridhar Swami, the original commentator on the Bhagavatam, there is not always a devastation after the change of every Manu. And yet, this inundation, after the period of Chakshusha Manu, took place in order to show some wonders to Satyavrata. That's Sripad Sridhar Swami. But Jiva Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, has given definite proofs from authoritative scriptures, like Vishnu Dharmottara, Markandeya Purana, Harivamsa, etc., that there is always a devastation after the end of each and every Manu. Look at this. There's a controversy. How's that possible? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti has also supported Srila Jiva Goswami. And he, Sri Chakravarti, has also quoted Bhagavatamrita about this inundation after each Manu. That's the Lagu Bhagavatamrita by Rupa Goswami. Apart from this, the Lord, in order to show special favor to Satyavrata, a devotee of the Lord, in this particular period, incarnated himself. End of purport. Very clear, right? Huh? verse says Vaivasvata Manu was put on the boat. Anyway, so, and then it's Satyavrata was put on the boat. And the answer to that one is that Satyavrata, in his next life, became the son of the sun god, Vivaswan, and therefore he became Vaivasvata Manu. But Vaivasvata Manu is the post indicating the son of Vivaswan, and the person's name was Shraddhadev, and that was the next birth of King Satyavrata. Got it? So if we give you an exam at the end of class, you'll surely. Okay. We'll start with a controversy. And how can there be controversy? Well, Prabhupada describes that in the spiritual world, difference of opinion is not only allowed, it happens. Just like, you know, the residents of Braja. After the Govardhan Leela, the residents of Braja were wondering, who is Krishna? Who is this little boy? Or another session was where when Nanda Maharaj was rescued from the clutches of the attendants of Varuna, Nanda Maharaj saw the worshipable Varuna worshipping his son Krishna. He performed arti. He sat him down on his own throne and worshipped him. And there's Nanda Maharaj going, huh? What's this? So when he went back, Nanda Maharaj had a session amongst the elders, and they were wondering, who is Krishna? And there were differences of opinions. So those differences of opinions amongst the elders of Braja, or in this case, the differences of opinion of great acharyas, it's not the same as, you know, the speculative opinions of professors of knowledge or armchair philosophers. These are persons who are experiencing different levels of Krishna conscious happiness and realization, and the final analysis, the weight is given to the scriptural authority. I'm going to read, it's a toss-up. I'll read first what this is, the Vishwanath translation, Bhanu Swami's translation of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on this verse, where Prabhupada is drawing from, saying this one says this and that one says that. So here's the detail. This is the fruit, and then there's the smoothie. When there was an inundation, after the period of Chakshusha Manu, the Lord accepted the form of a fish and protected Vaivasvata Manu, placing him on a boat formed from the earth. So Mother Earth can take the form of a cow. Mother Earth took the form of a boat. We'll hear more. Commentary. During Chakshusha Manvantar, there was a flood of water. Another version is Chakshusha Antara Samplave. The earth acted as a boat, much it protected the person who would be Vaivasvata Manu. So the king, Satyavrata, became Vaivasvata Manu. Sridhar Swami says, though there is not a flood at the end of this Manvantar, an illusory flood was shown to Satyavrata for fun. The Lord was having some fun, some leela, to associate with his devotee Satyavrata. However, in Vishnu Dharmotara, Vajra, who was Vajra? Grandson of Krishna. Vajra asks Markandeya. Who's Markandeya? He's the one who was eavesdropping on the conversation between Krishna and Uddhava, and later Vidura approaches him. The whole three cantos of the Bhagavatam is Vidura and Maitreya. Then there's Markandeya. Markandeya. What happens at the end of the Manvantar, Markandeya says, O Vajra, the great Lord, in the form of water, greatly agitated with countless waves, covers the earth and the lower planets with water. O Yadava, all things on the earth planet are destroyed at that time. Only the famous mountains are not destroyed. Have you heard some theories in geology about, you know, once upon a time there was a big bang and mass went, and after it started to cool down, some water started to condense, and then the Earth planet was covered with water. Something like that. I was visiting part of the summer in a very remote place, and the pilot that was flying over a mountain range was a little Cessna. It wasn't like a big 747. You know, it wasn't a big commercial plane. It was a little. Seeing, you know, the height of one of the tallest mountains in the world. Anyway, he was describing, as if it was a fact, you know, that so many hundreds of thousands of years ago, all of this was underwater, and as the water receded, blah, 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 blah. Like, you know, it was a fact. Telling all the people on the plane. So, that's a view that some people have. And here's the view that the Vedas have. That, so this is before the Vaivasvata Manu. You could count how many, you can multiply out how, by math, how many yuga cycles, 4 yuga cycles times 27. This is when it was talking about there was a flood. Or something like the Old Testament describes a flood. So the Bhagavatam describes, except for the tallest mountains, everything was underwater. Oh, best of kings, Markandeya is speaking to Vajra. At that time, the earth personified, taking the form of a boat, protects all the seeds without discrimination. O offspring of the Yadu family. So there's more detail here than what Prabhupada includes in the purport, but the emphasis is, was there or was there not a flood? So Vishnu Dharmotara, being quoted by Jiva Goswami, there was. This explains that there is destruction at the end of the Manvantar. In Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Rupa Goswami also states that there is a devastation by water after every Manvantar. So Laghu Bhagavatamrita is a there's Brihat Bhagavatam, because Sanatana Goswami was the elder brother. He wrote both chronologically and, you know, volume-wise, Brihad Bhagavatamrita was written first amongst the Goswami literature. So it's a type of commentary, as the Sandarbhas of Jiva Goswami is a type of commentary on the Bhagavatam. So Rupa Goswami, taking the position of the younger brother of Sanatan, he wrote Laghu. So Brihat is big and Laghu is diminutive, very light and small. Laghu. Bhagavatamrita. But it's a commentary. It's reviewing the events of that the Bhagavatam describes and giving scriptural references and making commentary on the pastimes that are not just the 10th canto pastimes, the whole Bhagavatam. I was last weekend in, the weekend before the last, I was in Houston, and Radhakrishna Das Brahmachari, you know him? Tamal Krishnamurti's disciple. Very, very nice devotee, very brahminical person. He was Tamal Krishnamurti's servant for years. And he's alive to talk about it. He survived. So he was sharing with me that the book that he's been reading lately is Laghu Bhagavatamrita. And he came in and we sat down. He was pouring through some of the things that he's been reading, that it's just very fascinating. So our acharya's point here is, our acharya's Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they're disclosing details with scriptural reference. And what Prabhupada has done is made a smoothie out of it. But one of the things that I'm doing this in one sense on purpose, just to make the point and express the appreciation that when one has studied the writings of our prior acharyas and compares them to Prabhupada's teachings in the Bhagavatam, everything that he has said is just in complete fidelity with the writings of our acharyas. It's just the language is made so approachable and simple. It's disciplic succession, understandings all the way. In his comments, this is Rupa Goswami's, in Rupa Goswami's comments on some verses of Harivamsa as well, he says the same. The verse mentions the Chakshusha Manvantar, because Satyavrata was a great devotee of Matsya, and Matsya was attracted to his devotee. Matsya appeared at this time. The following verse illustrates how the Lord is controlled by his devotee. The point here being that the Lord shows that form to his devotee that the devotee has particular attraction for. And attraction for a particular form of the Lord is not something that a neophyte just like spins the wheel and says, I think I like that one. Maybe I like that one. No, wait a minute, I like that one. It's a far deeper devotional attraction. Satyavrata was a pure devotee. He was eligible to have the Lord come and rest his transcendental form in his hand and then display his divinity. But which he did. So attraction for a particular form is not, you know, pick and choose, or it's in the mind. It's a very deep spiritual attraction. But when that very deep spiritual attraction is there, the Lord shows a particular form. Here's the concluding part of the purport. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur refers to 10th canto, chapter 27, text 11 from the Bhagavatam, where it is said, unto him who assumes transcendental bodies according to the desires of his devotees, unto him whose form is itself pure consciousness, unto him who is everything, who is the seed of everything, and who is the soul, with a capital S, of all creatures, I offer my obeisances. So the indication again is that he takes a form according to the devotion of his devotee, because he's controlled by his devotee. But the devotee isn't thinking, oh, I have control of my Lord. He's thinking, I offer all of my obeisances unto him for his transcendental loving qualities. Final statement of the purport. Therefore, this particular narration is representative of events that take place after every manvantara. So this is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur asserting his opinion that's in support of Jiva Goswami and Rupa Goswami's opinion, that is of a different flavor than Sridhar Swami's. Sridhar Swami's saying, not after every manu, but the Lord in this case himself became the flood in order to have fun with Satyavrata, to interact in a pleasing way with his devotee. The Matsya avatar is mentioned not only in this first canto, chapter 3. Again, in second canto, there's a list of avatars. And in various places, up to the eighth canto of the Bhagavatam, there's from time to time mentioned. He's one of the principal Lila avatars. Lila avatars means out of the six categories of avatar forms of the Lord, one of them is Lila avatars, and even those Lila avatars, they're described as being countless, like the waves of the ocean, but they're principal avatars, and the principal avatars are spoken about again and again. So he's a favorite, or a principal avatar. In the eighth canto, chapter 24, it describes that the Matsya avatar appears at different times in different ways. One previous time was at the end of a day of Brahma. So just like, you know, the description of Narada, when he's describing in the first canto, Narada is describing to Vyas of his previous life during a previous day of Brahma. And he recalls when he was in a previous day of Brahma. So similarly, in a previous day of Brahma, in a previous kalpa, there was a demon named Hayagriva. And at the end of the day of Brahma, Hayagriva was attempting to steal the Vedas. It's a different pastime than when the two demons, Madhu and Kaitava, at the beginning of another day of Brahma, Brahma was yawning. And as he was yawning, the Vedas were manifest. And Madhu and Kaitava tried to steal the Vedas. So a form of the Lord appeared and killed them. So he's known as Madhu Sudana, the killer of a Madhu demon. So this is the killing of Hayagriva. Hayagriva, at the end of a day of Brahma, was trying to steal the Vedas. So the Lord, in the form of a fish, came and killed Hayagriva. And the next day of Brahma, Swayambhuva Manu appeared. So the Lord took the form of a fish and saved the Vedas. Same Matsya, but in a different period of time, during the reign of Chakshusha Manu, towards the end of the reign of Chakshusha Manu, there was a great king who was a great devotee and a very powerful ruler, and he was particularly devoted to the form of the Lord as Matsya. So Matsya decided he would appear for the pleasure of his devotee and for his own pleasure. So one time, in the forest, King Satyavrata was engaging in austerities to please the personality of Godhead. And he was eating nothing except drinking some water. So while on the bank of the Kritamala River, and that's in the southern part of India, he was offering oblations to the Supreme Lord. He wasn't yet drinking water, he was just offering oblations to the Lord. And while doing so, in his palm appeared a fish. He was very surprised. Not only the fish was in his palm, but the fish began speaking to him. And the fish said, "Please take me out of this water and place me in a safe vessel." So he got a vessel, a nice clay pot, and placed the fish in the clay pot. But then the fish expanded to the size of the pot. It was bigger than the size of the pot. "Please put me in a larger body of water." So the king was surprised. And he went and put the fish in a well, and he outgrew the size of the well. "Please, I need a bigger body of water." So he took the fish out of the well and put him in a lake. He outgrew the lake. "I need a bigger body of water." So he put him in the ocean. He outgrew the ocean. And Satyavrata then realized, "Wait a minute, this is my Lord, Matsya. He's appeared. How fortunate I am." So he began offering wonderful prayers. And the Lord responded to his prayers and indicated that very soon, within 1 week's time, the whole earth is going to be flooded with water. And so he gave him some service. And the service was that the earth would take the form of a boat, and the king was to gather up all the herbs and seeds and varieties of living entities to preserve the species, put them all in the boat, like Noah's Ark or something like that. And then he, Matsya, would appear on that ocean of devastation as Matsya, and there would be a horn, like a protruding something at the top of his fish body. And after the fish appeared, the fish would then accompany the boat and make sure the boat reached safety, and then the Lord disappeared. As Matsya appeared in the palm of his hand and grew bigger, 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 and spoke to him, he suddenly disappeared. Satyavrata was in ecstasy. Although he knew devastation is coming in a week, he was in ecstasy because the Lord would protect him. And he had some service to do. So he began constantly in meditation upon the Supreme Lord, preparing for what the Lord had instructed him to do. Sure enough, the inundation came, and the boat appeared, and everything went on the boat, along with the king and many great sages. Must have been a huge boat. And then floating on this water of devastation, and Matsya appeared. and again a series of prayers when Matsya appeared. So the Bhagavatam then also describes, as does Prabhupada in his commentary, that in the next Manu, after Chakshusha Manu, is Vaivasvata Manu. So that King Satyavrata became Vaivasvata Manu, because after giving up his life as King Satyavrata, he took birth as the son of the sun god Vivaswan, named Shraddhadev, and Shraddhadev became Vaivasvata Manu. There isn't any description about who the worshipable deity for Vaivasvata Manu is, but must have some attraction for Matsya. So now going back to the smoothie of Srila Prabhupada's purport. There's two things that he's included in the purport. One is, our acharyas have a difference of opinion as to whether after every Manu there's a devastation, and Prabhupada seems to accept that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami are the acharyas, that he shares that same view, but he doesn't make a big issue about it, just presenting. And the other is that the Lord appears for the pleasure of his devotee. In order to show special favor to Satyavrata, a devotee of the Lord, in this particular period, the Lord incarnated himself. We find this with other forms of the Lord. Also, like with Varaha, there's not a lot of detail presented in Prabhupada's purports. Our acharyas make mention of it a little further, so it's not so critical for us to understand, but there are different forms of Varaha. And with those different forms of Varaha, there's slightly different Leela. So there's Sveta Varaha and Rakta Varaha. And the white form of Varaha appears and at a particular time and does particular pastimes. And the Rakta Varaha appears at another time and has other particular leelas, although they're somewhat similar because it's Lord Varaha. And Prabhupada explains in the purport that even Shukadeva Goswami, what to speak of the rest of us, made no particular distinction between the two, but rather blended the two into one narration for convenience sake, although they're different. They're different particulars. Again, on the theme of PhD in Krishna consciousness, it's okay. It's not only okay, it's very nice that the Supreme Lord performs different pastimes, at different appearances, although he's the same Supreme Lord. And why not? We don't do the same thing every day, or even the same thing, you know, 1 hour to the next necessarily, although there may be certain themes of what we do, what to speak of the Supreme Lord. In Brihat Bhagavatamrita, for example, towards the end, it's just very ecstatic, where Sanatana Goswami is describing the pastimes of Krishna, that during different appearances of Krishna, they're performed differently. One example is the killing of Keshi Sudana. So we find that description in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. But in Brihat Bhagavatamrita, it describes that sometimes Krishna, when Krishna appears, he doesn't kill Keshi, he tames Keshi. And he keeps Keshi in a corral. And from time to time, the cowherd boys go for a horseback ride on the back of Keshi. And it's lots of fun for the cowherd boys. Or in Brihat Bhagavatamrita, there's a description where Krishna leaves Vrindavan and he goes to Mathura, and the residents of Vrindavan are hankering so much for Krishna's association that he returns to Vrindavan. And they're so happy being with Krishna after he's returned from Mathura, they completely forget that he left for Mathura. And then again he leaves for Mathura. And a whole scene again reruns. Akura comes and takes Krishna to Mathura. And there's this devastation of separation from Krishna. And Krishna stays for some time in Mathura. And then again he returns to Vrindavan and they forget everything. Because of the internal potency, the essence is the exchange of love between the devotee and the Supreme Lord. And the Supreme Lord is very expert at enjoying, and he's expert at giving those who are very dear to him enjoyment. And even that enjoyment may look like devastation, the feelings of separation of the residents of Vrindavan. Krishna churns those emotions in very expert ways. So, etc. Similarly here, Matsya appears at one time to kill Hayagriva and another time to just delight his devotee, Satyavrata. And it's the same Supreme Lord, but he's appearing Pritranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chaduskritam Dharma Sangstapanartha. He's performing these wonderful pastimes. King Satyavrata received knowledge of the Vedas when Matsya was pulling the boat. The sages were in the boat. So Matsya was imparting knowledge of the Vedas to the sages, and Satyavrata understood within his heart the knowledge of the Vedas. Here it's described. After getting aboard with learned brahmanas and saintly persons, Satyavrata offered prayers to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, and thus he taught Maharaj Satyavrata and the saintly persons about Vedic knowledge from the core of the heart. So he has nice pastimes. Dharma Sangstapanartaya. What a nice way to establish transcendental knowledge. So Satyavrata heard directly from the Lord, from within his heart, during a previous Manu, and then in the next Manu he becomes the son of Vivaswan and hears from Vivaswan, who heard from Krishna. Because he was qualified and could understand by his devotion. Okay. Matsyavatar ki jai. Any comments or questions? Yes, Bhana Kelly.
I have a couple of questions. Question on the point of Satyavrata having Matsya as his worshipful deity. So before Matsya appeared, he was already attracted.
Sure.
So from a previous line.
Sure.
Okay, so then when a devotee attains that level of having an actual Ishtadeva.
Yeah.
Is that a permanent rasa then? So when he becomes Vaibhasvatamana, then he doesn't need a name that the devotee is mentioning?
There's no description. And so I don't have, you know, a scriptural answer. I would say, you know, sure makes sense to me, but I don't know, I don't have any authoritative answer to your question. Because it's not, yes, it's not something cosmetic or circumstantial, it's something deep and spiritual. And it's not necessarily even that from a previous lifetime, as much as, you know, having attained a certain stage of spiritual attraction, then there's a particular form of the Lord. It's kind of like it's described by Rupa Goswami in the stage of Raga Nuga Sadhana Bhakti. It's not that one picks and chooses, or that in a previous life, but at a certain stage of practice, one, there's an attraction for a particular service unto Krishna. So he gives the example of perhaps the service of Mother Jasoda to baby Krishna. And so the details of Mother Jasoda's dress, Mother Jasoda's ornaments, the flowers in Mother Jasoda's hair, it becomes part of the sadhana of that sadhaka that they meditate upon and, you know, receive inspiration from a particular perfected soul, a ragatnika bhakta. It evolves through purity, not necessarily, you know, in a previous life something. So at that stage, it certainly makes sense that at that stage in their next life they're, you know, serving the Lord. It's not circumstantial. It's constitutional.
The non-human avatars of Krishna have their eternal forms in eternal planets. I thought I remember this term of nymphic avatar, that they only manifest that form for temporary pastimes, but that they didn't have a permanent like that.
Do you recall where you read that? Okay, how about if I do a little folio search? Here we go. Look at this. This is a letter to Ekiani, July 1970. So far as the avatars are concerned, there are two types. One is called Nitya, and the other is called Naimittik. Nitya means eternal, and Naimittik avatars appear for some specific function in the material worlds. Nitya avatars have the eternal abodes in the spiritual sky from which they may sometimes descend to the material worlds, but Naimittik avatars are expansions of Nitya avatars for some timely purpose. So, the non-human forms of avatars do not have their planets in the spiritual sky. You got it spot on, sister. Let's see what else. This is a Back to Godhead article. Quoting 1535 Bhagavatam. the work, this is a paraphrased translation of 1.3.35. That's in the same chapter. It's a summary of the forms of the Lord. The work not done for the sake of Dharma, the Dharma not performed for the purpose of Vairagya, the Vairagya not practiced for service of Vishnu, whosoever practices such work, Dharma or Vairagya, is dead in life. Oh, this is a different. Conditioned fruitive works or naimittic kamya karmas. That's different. Okay, that's different. Okay. So, that addresses your question, yeah? Okay. Well, not necessarily. It certainly can be that they, when they, how to describe this? From Brihat Bhagavatamrita, the devotees, remember when Gopakumar comes to the edge of Vaikuntha and he sees all these personalities who he thinks are the Lord of Vaikuntha, and they're not, they're Vaikuntha Vasis. And some of them, the first it's the forearm forms like Lord Vishnu or Narayan, but then it's all these other personalities, and he describes in the commentary that although they have forms that are like, you know, all kinds of different, not just forearm forms with symbols of Vishnu, because from their position they worshipped in that form and they attained the spiritual realm in that form. And likewise, the Lord, who is the Lord of their life, may appear. Let's see. The form of the Lord appears according to their devotion. So although, let's read this again. I was going to say that they manifest that form which the devotee desires. Anyway, Nitya avatars have the eternal abodes in the spiritual sky from which they may sometimes descend to the material worlds, but naimittic avatars are expansions of the Nitya avatars for some timely purpose. So, the non-human forms of avatars do not have their planets in the spiritual sky. The non-human forms of avatars do not have their planets in the spiritual sky. Right.
So does it mean that, like, when it says that the non-human, magnetic avatars are expansions of eternal avatars, that the eternal form is a forearm Vishnu form, but it takes a non-human
form for specific purposes.
So, like, if Satyavrata is a devotee of Matsya, fish avatar in the material world, then he could worship maybe that Vishnu of which Matsya is a financial.
Yeah. Logical extension. We would, as you remembered this properly, there should be some scripture to support that understanding. I don't know what that is. Can research. Anything else? Yes.
You were saying in the beginning that there was between the Vaishnava Gurus is mismatched what they have.
Diverse opinion is permitted.
Diverse opinion. I remember reading some verse in the second chapter of Gita. Krishna says for knowledge which is more consistent, uniform, is the right knowledge. Something like that. I don't remember the exact verse.
Well, what's really important in your question is the front part, which is not clear. So it would need to get the exact language to have a clear question, so we can get a clear answer to your clear question. No, there is. Diversity there is such a thing as contradiction, and there is such a thing as diversity without contradiction. Meaning, a simple example is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's brilliant effort to show while the four sampradayas have particulars in their teaching, the essence is consistent, and therefore their harmony is of greater importance than their differences. The harmonious convergence is the essence, and their particulars, and the particulars have their consistency all the way through. What Madhvacharya emphasized, he emphasized all the way through and showed within the scriptural references that he drew upon, how that consistency shows itself, and similarly the others, and similarly the others. Like, you know, an historical situation was when the Ramanadis, the followers of Ramanujacharya, the northern version of the followers of Ramanujacharya, were near Jaipur, and they were worshipping Ram, and everything was fine, because the king of Jaipur was a worshipper of Ram. But when one king of Jaipur in the ascendancy became a worshipper of Krishna, it created a problem, because they were losing their grip, or it seemed like they might lose their grip on the support of the king of Jaipur. And then that king of Jaipur simultaneously was rescuing the deities from invasion and brought the deities to Jaipur. The Gaudiya Vaishnava deities. There's a detailed history, very nicely written about in Back to Godhead magazine years ago by Dhananjaya wrote like a 3-part article detailing the whole thing. Brilliant article. Well researched. So they were saying, my dear king, how can someone who has no commentary on Vedanta Sutra be accepted as a bona fide sampradaya? To be accepted as a bona fide sampradaya, they have to have their commentary on Vedanta Sutra. And their way of worship is different than the Madhva sampradaya, which they claim to come from. So where's their Siddhanta? The commentary on Vedanta Sutras to support worship of Radha Krishna. Madhva didn't do that. This is a deviation. They shouldn't worship the deity, we should worship the deity, because we're bona fide sampradaya. So, a commentary on Vedanta Sutra was written, which explained why the worship of Radha, and so many other things that are, so, a comprehensive and consistent rendering is necessary, along with Diksha going back, and so on. So, differences, divergences in commentary is accepted, even amongst the bona fide sampradayas, or one sampradaya to another sampradaya. provided the essences are the same and that there's consistency throughout in their teaching. Is that all right? It takes a very advanced devotee, like, you know, not us, takes a very advanced devotee to understand and reach a conclusion, is something in that category of a fundamental contradiction, or is something that which is a difference of opinion while the fundamental understanding is still consistent. We can have differences of opinion, and it's okay. Okay. If some avatars, okay, Naimittic. Why not? I don't see that that's a problem. All complete units, not just forms of the Lord that appear. All that comes from the Lord as exists as a complete whole and a complete unto themselves. Okay. Creation. What to speak of forms of the Lord, even creation. And that leads into the next verse where the arrangements within creation are there for the maintenance and sustenance of all the components of creation. And if we accept that arrangement, we may live for a long, long time and be happy. And we don't accept that, then we're thieves. So there's a natural arrangement, even within creation, what to speak of forms of the Lord. He's not less complete or less whole by manifesting as Matsya. Although that form may not be in Vaikuntha, it's not less complete or less whole. Yeah. It's a particular category. It's a Leela avatar, form of the Lord. It's a non-human Leela avatar form of the Lord, a Naimittic. That term, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the same term is used. Nimitta Maya and Pradhan Maya. It gets really technical. You want to go there? There are principles of causation. One of the principles of causation causes the ingredients. Another principle of creation creates the space. Like, it gives the example, wombs of mothers do two things. They supply ingredients and they create a space for a living entity to form. So Maya has this Nimitta Maya and Pradhan Maya feature. One is supplying ingredients and the other is supplying space. Because without space, how do you have form? So Maya supplies the space and Maya supplies the ingredients. They're different. It's technical. You know, it's like, you know, Krishna consciousness PhD, but it's Chaitanya Charitamrita describing features of Maya that allow creation to come into being. You have to have these, you have to have the ingredients, you have to have the space. And Maya provides them. The different features of Maya that supply them. So that term nimitta is the same root as the nimitic. It's for a specific function. For the happiness of Satyavrata. And Prabhupada describes when Hiranyakashipu appeared, when Lord Srinadeva appeared, he appeared in that particular form to accommodate the promise of Lord Brahma. He wasn't going to violate Lord Brahma's promise. Wouldn't he kill this way, that way, the other way? But also showing sharp teeth and sharp nails and ripping from the body of Hiranyakashipu. Anyway, so for a specific purpose, that form of the Lord appears. Just chew on it for a while, see. See how it digests.
A has a set of properties, which is complete and perfect. B lacks.
No, he just doesn't exhibit them all. Krishna can expand himself into a form that does not exhibit all the features of himself. But that doesn't mean that that form which he expands himself as is incomplete. Not all the qualities of Krishna are being exhibited. That's perfectly fine. We have this, you know, A and B. So there's 64 qualities, and up to Narayan and Lord Vishnu, 60 qualities. What happened to the other four? Is it that looks like not perfect and complete, right? By your math. But perfect and complete from an absolute perspective. So one can worship Vishnu, one can worship Narayan, one can worship Rama, one can worship Nrisimha. And they're fully transcendental. That's the convergence part. Then there's the distinction part, and distinction is permitted in the absolute realm. So the original personality of Godhead is Krishna. He has all those qualities in fullness, including the four that Vishnu and Narayan doesn't have. So we can say A equals B, but A is greater than B. Your math doesn't accommodate that. Okay. A equals B, and A is greater than B. Yes. Yes.
Exhibiting
that. That's right.
Like we have anger, but right now I might not be exhibiting anger, but I don't have it. It's just, you know, and according to the mood, like,
yes,
the mood of killing, so he came with a lion, you know. Or he had a deal with water, so he took on bins and whatever the fish had.
Appropriate for the circumstance, exactly. Krishna exhibits his features in fullness as Swayam Bhagavan. Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj and Mother Jasoda. And his other features, he does not exhibit that fullness.
Essentially, his avatar is
A equals B and A is greater than B. Okay. Next. Or anything else? Our college students are very happy to not go into that realm. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.